Certainly is good to be with you today. What a beautiful day it is outside. What a great day it is to be together, to worship together, and to sing these songs of praise. For the last 2 weeks, we have studied some of the greatest expressions of love that have ever been shown towards us. The subjects of grace and mercy. These are ours because of the great love with which God has loved us. It's hard to comprehend that kind of love, isn't it? It's kind of hard to really wrap our minds around just how much God loves us. And just how much He has shown that love towards us and what He's willing to do. Humanly, it's sometimes impossible to follow God's example of love. As we think about that, it brings up the question, how do you define love? If you had to define it, how would you define it? Or perhaps the question is, what is love? Today we will look at a few things that love is. We start by talking about the fact that love is beautiful. When we think of love, you know, we can usually conjure up something that is sweet and beautiful. You know, when we think of love and we think of love stories and we think of how love should work out, you know, the way Hollywood portrays it is it's always that happily ever after. It's the fairy tale. It's the great story. When we're children and we think of love, all we know of love is that our parents love us. And when we think of loving someone in the future, it's always a beautiful picture, isn't it? We think of how awesome and how beautiful love can be. And there's some great examples of that in Scripture. When you think of the story of Ruth, you find one of the most beautiful pictures there is of love. Ruth chapter 1 records for us that Ruth is married, but her husband passes away. Not only her husband, but her father-in-law and her brother-in-law, and all that's left is her sister-in-law and her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, decides to return home to her family, and so she tells her two daughters-in-law that they should stay with their people. They're young, they can still have a life, so stay with your people. Ruth would have none of it, and she says, and we see their conversation in verse 15 of Ruth chapter 1, and she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you." What a beautiful picture of love being expressed. Ruth will follow her mother-in-law all the way to a foreign land to take care of her. Ultimately, things work out well for her. She does get the happy ever after ending. What a beautiful picture of a committed love. You also have the friendship of David and Jonathan recorded for us in Scripture, and how that those two were knit together and cared so much for each other that they were willing to do anything to help one another. Jonathan was even willing to stand against his father, the king Saul, to protect David. What a great friendship they had. One that even the animosity that existed between Saul and David could not destroy that friendship. It was at the death of Jonathan, we say David, as he cried and as he agonized over the death of his friend, and just how close they really were. What a beautiful picture of the friendship and the love that they had for one another. And then you have the story of Jacob and Rachel found in Genesis 29. Jacob loved Rachel. How much did he love her? We find in verse 18 it says, Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Now Laban, Rachel's father, will pull a fast one and actually give him the older daughter Leah instead of Rachel. But ultimately, Jacob will stay and he will get Rachel as his wife, and he will serve another 7 years. He was willing to serve for 14 years just to have Rachel, just because he loved her that much. And they seemed to him as just a few days. What a beautiful picture of love. You know, there's nothing more beautiful that can be expressed from one person to another than love itself. As we think about love, we think about its expression, we think about these stories. And each of us can think of a story of someone we know, maybe a couple who's been married for many years and who are a great expression and a great picture, a beautiful picture of what love is. Because love, when it's expressed, it's the most beautiful thing we can give someone. Love is beautiful. Love is also messy. It's also complicated. It's not always the fairy tale. It's more than a fairy tale. Not all endings are happy, but love is still required. You know, true love doesn't run when life gets hard. True love remains even when you're not loved in return. True love is willing to go through the mud and the muck. It's willing to get messy. What is love? Well, when it's the beautiful love, when everything is happy and everything is great, love is easy. But is that really love? Love sometimes has to go through some tests, some trials, some difficulties. There's some great examples of love in Scripture. Think of the story of Abraham and Isaac. How faithful was Abraham to God? He's the father of faith. How committed was he to God that even after all those years, he still was committed and faithful to God of a promised child? Finally, at 100 years old, Abraham has a child. And then, a little while after that, God comes with a request. And more than a request, a command. I want you to sacrifice that child. What greater pain can you have than to wait as long as Abraham did to finally have this child? And we get the opinion that Isaac was a little older than maybe we think when Abraham took to sacrifice him. And to spend those times with Isaac, and then for God to say, now I want you to give him back. I want you to sacrifice him. How much did Abraham love God? Enough to prepare the sacrifice. Enough to make the journey. Enough to put Isaac on the altar. To draw back the knife to kill his own son. Love sometimes can be messy. When you think of the chapter in the Bible that most describes love, we often think of 1 Corinthians 13. But why was that chapter even written? That chapter was written because you had a group of people in the church in Corinth that simply could not get along. They were divided. They spent time seeking to destroy each other. They did not seek for unity. They did not walk together. They were a church that was in a constant state of friction. Why did Paul have to write 1 Corinthians 13? Because what they needed in that mess was love. And when you think back over the words that he writes, love is patient and kind. In the midst of all that turmoil, in the midst of all that disagreement, what did they need? They needed love for one another, even when they did not agree. They needed to seek for love. And then the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. When he gives us a picture of love, he says in verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" How simple is that one? Love those who love you, and don't love those who don't love you. That's common sense, isn't it? That's human nature. That's what it's simple. But Jesus says, "I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brothers only, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." What did Jesus just say? Sometimes love is messy. Sometimes, and really what is required, is that we love even when life is messy. When we have enemies, when we have those who persecute us, Jesus says what is required then is love. Love remains. Winds blow, storms come, life happens. But true love holds. It holds during the messy time. You know, when we think about love, our world has failed when it comes to love. If we've failed anything, we've failed in the ability to love each other. You look out into our world, do you see love? We don't see love. And we're teaching our children that love is only good when we love each other the way we should, as long as it's easy. 50% divorce rate. What is the message? Love them as long as it's easy, but if it gets hard, go your separate ways. You don't agree with me on my political opinion, then I don't love you. You don't agree on what I think is right, then I don't love you. That's what our world is teaching. That's what our children see every day. Our world has failed to teach the importance of loving through the mess. Love remains. Love should stand strong when everything else fails. There should still be love. It's beautiful when it is done correctly, when it's true love. It's a beautiful thing. True love remains even when things get messy. Even when things get difficult. Love is what carries us through because love remains. Because love is divine. Love is godly. 1 John chapter 4. Records for us something very important for us to understand when we think about the subject of love. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Love is divine, because God is love. The closest we can come, to being as godly as possible is to show love to all. To show love to everyone. Because God is love. If we find ourselves in a situation where we don't want to love, where we don't show love, we find ourselves in a position of being at odds with God. Verse 20, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from God, from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's important for us as Christians to really to be an example of. God is love. God is love in all circumstances. God loves us. God loves all. Now, that doesn't mean He will save all. God hates sin. He will not be able to exist in the same place as sin. There are things that God hates. But God loves all. How do we know that God loves all? Well, the Bible says so. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Who is excluded from the love of God? Who did Jesus not die for? When Jesus went to the cross, who did He say, I'm only dying for these people? No such conversation. Jesus died for all, so that we might live through Him. It is our choice. It is our desire to follow Him. God's love is manifest through Jesus to be the substitute. And He gave that for everyone. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. Bring us a little bit more clear picture of how we ought to love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. God's love for us is beautiful. When we think about grace, when we think about mercy, we think about forgiveness, we think about His love by sending His Son Jesus. What a beautiful expression of love. God's love was messy. How much did God love us? He loved us enough to allow Jesus to be scourged. He loved us enough to allow Jesus to be spit on. He loved us enough to allow Jesus to be beaten, mocked, and crucified. He loved us enough to endure the mess of watching Jesus die and suffer. But God's love is divine. He loved us first. He loved us first. And He is love. And if we follow in His footsteps, we must love. Even when it's not the easy choice. Even when it's difficult. Even when others don't love us in return. That's godly love. That's not easy. But it's what God would want us to do. And that's love. What is love? We've got a small picture of what love is today. It is beautiful when it is expressed as it should be. It's the most beautiful thing we can give anyone. It's the greatest gift we can offer. We can't offer heaven because it's not ours to offer. It's God's. We can bring someone to church. We can invite them. But that's usually going to be done because we love them. Because we love God. Love is committed even through the mess. Even through the ugliness sometimes. Love is what remains. Love's what gets us through. Because love is divine. God is love. As we think about love this morning, we can't think about the subject of love without thinking about what God has done and what Scripture says about how much God loved us, willing to give Jesus as our atoning sacrifice. If you hadn't come in contact with the blood of Christ yet, if you have not given yourselves to Him in baptism, we want to encourage you to do so today. The greatest expression of love that the world has ever seen or ever been given is the love God gave us through His Son Jesus to save our souls. Maybe you're here this morning and there are things that you need to make right with God. There's things you need to get right with Him and you want the prayers of the church. We'd be glad to pray with you and for you. God's love is available today. If you need forgiveness or you need prayers or you need anything, won't you come as we stand and sing?